Hello, After Buzzers. Welcome back to the 100 After Show. Today we're talking Season 5, Episode 9, Sic Semper Tyrannis. Civil wars are everywhere. It's McCreary versus Dioza, Maddie versus Octavia, Clark versus Bellamy. It's a wild ride. We're going to discuss all of it and more. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I just thought this would be the absolute most appropriate song for this episode. It really hits the spot. It really, we haven't got a theme going already. I like it. I have a good feeling about this, you guys. What's up, guys? I'm back. I missed you so much last week, but I'm so excited to talk about this one especially because this episode was straight fire. It was amazing. I got a full panel here. Why don't you guys introduce yourself?
Hey, hey everybody, I'm Sarai.
What's up, y'all? I'm Jorge, here for Team Octavia.
I'm Cherry, I'm Team Octavia, so one crew.
We have decided to sit on opposite sides of the table, so it's a true debate.
Yes.
We can't really associate with each other anymore, but that's going to make it all the more fun, all the more interesting.
It's a personal civil war going on.
There really is. Yes, we guys have to fit with the theme. So I, like I said earlier, I loved this episode. It was so much drama, so much action. What did you guys think about it?
My favorite, hands down, so far all season.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've really picked it up this season, in this episode. It's really, like, taking it to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
I always let John Murphy be.
John Murphy. Whenever anything gets close to working, he just blows it up, and that's why we love him.
What, peace? Huh? What? Joy?
Peace. What's that?
Yeah. They were working with the information they had. It was incomplete.
Well, we will talk all about all of that. Right before we get into the episode, though, make sure to watch till the end because we have some awesome special segments for you. Boss Move of the Week, of course. We have some great news and we have some fan shout outs. So, yeah, you guys are not going to want to miss that. But exactly. Thank you so much. But before we get there, we got a whole lot of stuff to discuss. Let's talk about the Shallow Valley Allegis crew people first because that's where we start off. So it feels like an appropriate starting place. So Abby has found the cure for the disease. Didn't actually take her that long.
No. Proud of her.
Great doctoring.
Great doctor.
Good doctoring, even though she's like all medicated up herself. Right?
Yeah.
Junkie Abby's not too bad of a doc.
Yeah. It's so true.
Drugs help.
Okay. But it was also the inspiration from Vincent, my very favorite cannibal.
The guy who eats people's hands and legs for trophies.
Yeah.
Love it.
Now becoming like Frankenstein's monster.
They're going to be best friends forever.
Yeah,
I wonder what his deal is because there's got to be more to him. He's got to keep playing bigger and bigger role because they keep focusing on him. Like, who is this rando?
Do you notice he's the muscle now?
Yeah.
You notice, like, don't let me get the guy before he eats you. And everybody's like, oh.
Yeah.
No good.
He's like a zombie.
He's Abby's, like, guard dog right now. He is. What it looks like.
And his weapon is his teeth. He has no gun. He has, like, nothing. He just looks at him like he's hungry.
Yeah, well, the brother's also kind of huge, too.
Right?
You know, yeah, he picks up that sound machine like it's a baby. Mm-hmm. And that thing looks like it weighs, you know, at least...
A lot.
At least, like, 400 or 500 pounds. And he's,
you think so?
Well, the prop is probably...
Oh, okay.
The prop is
four
probably
or five
like
pounds.
4 or 5, 20, you know, 25 maybe to give it some girth. But but it looks like it's
it
worth,
looks
like
heavy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if maybe he's augmented, and that's why they're kind of leery of him. Not augmented with guns in his hands, but just like maybe some metal work.
That would be cool.
I'm going to refer to him from now on as a security zombie. Because I feel like that's exactly his role. So, yeah,
he's still got that collar
doing his thing. He's still got the collar on, that's true.
That's not going anywhere.
No.
Yeah, well, because Abby found the cure, but she's hiding it because Dioza tells her to.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty savage move, in my opinion,
smart
move. Yeah, I definitely understand why.
But Abby's all like, I'm not going to kill anybody if you try to tell me to kill somebody.
Yeah.
So she's putting her foot down with that.
Yeah, that was cool.
But she tried to threaten Raven. Didn't she not?
Yes, she did.
Raven?
She won't kill anyone unless they get between her and her drugs.
And her drugs. There we go. Now that makes more sense.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I did like how she compared the like procedure Abby was doing to mining, though. I think it was that was a cool kind of parallel that they were bringing that back in, because I don't know, it's been a couple of episodes since we like really, really discussed the fact that they're from this mining ship. So it's nice that they kind of refresh everyone's memories, because I obviously don't have the best memory. So it's nice that they throw those little lines and details in there, and I feel like it makes it authentic. So I thought that was a really cool line.
Yeah, and Abby's little comeback of, well, miners don't care about the area around what they're mining. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a nice little quip on her side.
I definitely agree. Mm-hmm. And McCreary is back.
Yikes.
So much, so much tension.
We're against we're all anti McCreary.
Nobody likes McCreary.
No, literally nobody likes McCreary.
Except for your mom, maybe.
Does McCreary even like McCreary that much? Yeah. Like, let's be real.
He punches mirrors. Sure.
McCreary's mom doesn't like McCreary.
No one.
McCreary is more like one crew than anybody else.
He's savage.
Ooh. One crew and them, or just there's no peace between them and one crew. Yeah. So that should be a real good battle.
That's the thing. Like, it's not even just one enemy versus another enemy. It's a legitimate world war at this point. There's like six different groups.
Over one little patch of land.
I know. It's crazy.
It's not that little. It's really big enough where everyone could share, but they're all kind of like jerks. Yeah. And nobody wants to share.
It's true.
They should just do allotments of land. As they look over the mountain, I think that was, look over the cliff in the last episode. You can see it's very vast. Mm-hmm. They could just say, you here, you there. You know what I mean? Like, it can be...
Like separate countries.
Exactly.
Nah, it's man. That'll never happen.
This is China. This is, you know, Europe. Wait, is that... Yeah, continents. I don't know if I'm doing continents or states. I slept doing geography.
Well, they're in a Pangea situation right now, I guess, because they're not wanting to just share any of the land, not wanting to split it up. So there's a lot of tension automatically between Dioza and McCreary, because... Mm-hmm. Dioza didn't even really want to save him. No. You know, remember last
baby
episode?
Daddy. Oh, babe, yes.
Baby
yeah,
daddy.
We'll get to that, because that was a moment for sure. Yeah. But McCreary has like a week until he dies, which I thought was crazy. I did not really realize that, I guess, until now. I was like, oh, because he doesn't seem... That's sick.
But do you notice this episode, he's coughing a lot more.
That's true.
Play the role. He's like, you know, he's coughing a lot.
Yeah, and they're, the way they're doing the makeup on him right now, too, they're making him look a little, like they're drawing out the eyes a little bit more and really, like, shadowing his face to make it look even slimmer.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And he was one of the ones that were, I think, awake longer than the people that were, like, frozen in stasis tubes.
It's a very good point. He's still such a fighter, though. Like, he's not lost any of his strength, I don't feel like.
I would not want to mess with him when he's, like, healthy. I think he's something else.
Really?
Yeah. No.
Him and Octavia should get together and have, like, a hate baby. Like, they should get together and they just kill everybody.
Hate baby. We're gonna,
Who needs life? Like, just kill everybody.
Like, worms actual Satan. Yeah, honestly.
Serving up worms,
Well, I loved the line... Still during that scene where Vincent's like, killing them and letting them die are not the same thing to Abby. Ooh, I thought that was such a good line. I thought that this episode had some really, really solid lines. I wrote a lot of them down, so
same.
I'll be quoting it throughout the episode for sure. So also kind of at this Shallow Valley area, but sort of away from this group, we have John and Amori and Echo and Raven. This whole squad's back together from the ship. Yeah. I love this little squad. I think it's such like a random-ish group of people that all came together, which is kind of cool.
Is it bad? I'm like craving flashbacks of the ship.
Me
like,
too.
I want to know what happened on that ship that brought them so close.
Yeah.
Right?
So wouldn't that be 5 years? 6 years?
Five, 6 years. And they haven't, I don't feel like they've addressed that enough. Like, what brought, like, what were the challenges that they had to overcome? And they've only touched upon the fact that that Murphy was basically isolated or excommunicated.
And the food sucked. I remember that the food sucked.
I mean, but I'd like to know more.
Yeah, I would too. I'd like flashbacks of that. I would also like flashbacks of the bunker. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll get into it a little later, but they keep referencing this dark year, and I'm dying to see the dark year. I feel like
we were chatting about that in the chat, and a couple people were saying that they don't think it was when they started the fight. They think something even worse happened.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. Because they will not even... It's like a Voldemort. Like, they won't even speak its name.
Laura Tej Barfod Thason says, no, I think it's something worse. And she also welcomes you to the panel.
Yes!
Hi, Laura. Gracias.
Awesomeness. But yeah. No, not that awesome, but whatever. So John, Amori, and Echo are kind of like on the opposite side of Raven. They're kind of ganging up on her because she helped cure people because, you know, she trusted Abby, which I wasn't here to talk about it last week, so I just got to say now.
Go ahead.
I love the Abby-Raven relationship, and oh, that crushed me so much that they were on like...
Oh, yeah. That was... But when you're in the midst of your drug...
I know. Season one, though, when, you know, they were building the ship together and she was like sort of a mother figure to her, and now it's just getting worse and worse.
Opiates, man. Opiates. They're terrible. I know it. Stay off drugs, kids.
Stay in school. This has been a PSA.
This is your brain on drugs.
Exactly. Exactly. And so they also all basically went to kill Shaw except for Raven as well, because... Which, like, strategically, this makes sense that they want to do this. They're like, listen, this ship is the main thing that's giving them a leg up. And if they don't have no pilot to steer the ship, then that's, like, a huge kind of knock on their resources. So they're like, you know, let's just get rid of him.
I think it makes sense in the short term, but in the long term they need to get up there for a variety of reasons, if only just to make sure there's nothing else livable on the planet. And then whatever resources they have up there.
And what a weapon, you know. And right now they're thinking as if that they are the only survivable people on Earth. But there could be other people out there and it could come in back in handy later on to destroy whoever else comes up, you know.
Yes, all of that. But also Raven has a Love Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she got Major Love
Have you
Jones.
Seen Shaw with the little sweat that just trickles down ever so slow motion like?
I mean, I get it. I get it.
Shaw's all like, oh, yeah, it's your sparkling personality or whatever. And she's like,
I'll kill you. And he's like a hard on. He's like, oh, my God.
That was an incredible
kill me, girl.
Scene.
Kill me, girl.
You're already killed.
Yes. Like, Raven and Shaw are definitely getting a little closer. Mm-hmm. You can feel something. They're sharing the love. Jorge, can you tell our viewers how they can share the love with us?
I'm glad you asked,
Amazing.
Taylor. Hi, viewers. Hey, After Buzzers. Our network producers Thank you, Anthony. Hey, After Buzzers. Our network producers after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help.
We need your help.
That's right. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you.
Just for you.
And you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow, baby.
Oh, yeah, let it grow.
And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because... they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel. Press it now. And check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channel as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Thank you so much for that.
Stay sexy.
That was cool, ladies. The temperature, there's already a heat wave in this state, and just made it so much hotter.
And Anthony is my hype man.
Yes.
Man.
He's like, let it grow. It's like, that was
absolutely the best reading of that.
That was the boss move I've ever heard in my life.
Wow.
That was special.
That was special.
If they don't sign up for that, I don't know what else.
Honestly. Hey, so
I was told sex sells on TV.
Yeah. So I mean, there you go. So let's go in a completely opposite direction of that. So Raven, because she's really trying to save Shaw, she thinks there's a better way. She's like, listen, there's a civil war, a brewing here. Mm-hmm. Let's kind of take advantage of that, because what's weaker than an enemy at war with itself?
Civil war.
That's a really, really good point. So they are basically going to pit Dioza and McCreary against each other faster and harder than they have been pitted against each other before, because the circumstances are perfect for this, honestly. Yeah. And so they barely have to do anything at all, to be honest.
All they got
to
do is sick Murphy on them, really.
Yeah, for real.
Murphy being Murphy.
So they have John tell McCreary that yo, there's a cure, and they're not about to give it to you so that they can kind of distract them and get the collars off, mm-hmm. you know. So, yeah, and McCreary's understandably pretty upset about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're now pretty much on the cusp of a civil war, and Echo plays her part by telling Dioza that McCreary now knows about the cure. And so Dioza locks everything down and calls a code blue. What do you guys think of that decision?
It made sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It made a lot of sense. I thought that also that Echo had brought up a good point, too, is that in these situations, it could also backfire because all of a sudden they could start healing, which is what you saw started to happen when the Dioza started to share the truth. With everybody, yeah. right?
That was great. A great move on her. Yeah. Part.
Dioza is she's a so good smart. Leader. She's yeah, a she great is. Leader. She was a colonel. And I love that actress, too. Ilana mm-hmm. Milicevic. Yeah, I mean, we got to see her actually. She was on another show a while ago called Banshee. And she was awesome. Bad. And she was awesome on it, right?
She's amazing.
She had some amazing fight. Yeah, well, no. Because I love a woman that can, you know, fight. had a little crush, But I was hoping we'd get to see her fight on The 100. Mm-hmm. And we got to see a little snippet of that.
Yeah.
Well, her pregnant, though. She's limited. We won't really see how much she can do it until she drops the daughter.
Yeah. But even being pregnant, she was still kicking ass. Yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah. Like, McCreary's on the verge of death, and Dioza's about ready to give birth in a few months, and they're still just going at it and not letting anything stop them.
Yeah.
It's badass, guys.
Yeah. I'm surprised he stopped because she said she was pregnant. Seems like he'd be like, who cares?
I know. But I'm surprised his that baby. Made him feel...
But he knows that he's been...
I think that was just a quite like him just taking that in for a second. And that was also Dioza being smart. Yeah, she just caught him off guard for a second, which helped her turn the tables on him and stab him in the neck with that piece of glass.
But he doesn't trust anyone, though. So I would think he would be like, stop lying, you know, you're going to die. But he actually took a second, looked at her, and that's all she needed.
Well,
that was,
she's pregnant, and he knows that he did. Yeah. So he knows he did something.
It could have been Shaw.
You maybe.
Yeah. Shaw could have did it.
I don't know. I don't know.
No, I think it's McCreary.
Zias B. Liu in the chat said the fight scenes alone in this episode were better than all of Supergirl's fight scenes this past season. Which I have to say, it's very well choreographed.
Yeah, they must have to go through so much like training and rehearsing for this. Oh, I can't even imagine. I wonder how many like stunt doubles they have versus like the actual actors.
I don't know, but a lot of them died unnecessarily. Yeah. I mean, like at one point, Indra's in that room with Octavia and the doctor, and she throws a knife at some guy's head, and that could have been Steve from accounting.
It was. What do we call them? Joe Number Two or something is what like, we like to call them.
Richard, you know, and then
poor Richard.
But she had amazing aim. Like that was dead on bullseye.
Well, she is.
She's Indra, man.
She's the queen bee.
Well, before we get there, let's rewind a little bit because we talked a little bit about the McCreary Dioza baby secret, which I thought was like such a cool moment. I live audibly gasped. I was like, oh, it was great. But before that, she calls the code blue and. Yeah, she tells him the truth, and for a second we think that, oh, maybe things are going to be okay, and then John Murphy decides to throw something and hit someone, and all hell breaks loose.
The Rock heard around the world.
David and Goliath.
He killed that. Well, he shot that, but still. That was perfect, because she was doing that I Have a Dream speech, and everyone was like, oh, we all want to live and have land, and he was like, not today. So he throws the rock, and then...
McCreary wasn't listening to it anyway. He's like, he does not want to share the land. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want any of that. And I have to say, John Murphy, when he's at his best, it is when he's sowing dissension and causing problems.
That's very true. He does have a special talent in that department.
I have a talent.
He's like, I got to do everything myself.
To make everything.
And it's not even a big rock. It's not even a big rock. And it was
that
like,
a good sized rock, though. Someone hit me with it. I'd have been
pissed. He was bleeding. You could see a little red mark on him already.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's obviously not a bullet. So why is he shooting into the crowd?
It's a pebble.
To shoot them anywhere.
He was trigger happy.
He's mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Poor Kane, though, man. Like, he was really... I thought that he was getting somewhere. He's like, oh, I have this agreement with Clark and Bellamy. It's going to be great. And then... all of his plans just crumble right before his
eyes. He had this agreement to betray Octavia. Mm-hmm.
Listen. Listen.
What do we do?
Octavia's out of control.
We call him Benedict Cain over here.
Oh, yes.
Benedict Cain.
Oh, yeah. One crew.
I don't know, man. I just don't know.
I mean, personally, they should have shared with everybody since they knew everyone was plotting and scheming. Mm-hmm. And I really don't... I believe that she may want peace with everybody, but I don't think all the criminals want peace. Because whenever you see them looking at everybody, they barely tolerate the soldiers. They don't really want the soldiers. Sure. Really, I think even if they had gotten... Even the one crew died or whatever, I don't think they still would have a war amongst the former prisoners versus the soldier guard people.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's too much testosterone going on around there.
Well, and I think that their plan was, oh, if McCreary dies, then they won't have, like, their leader of this sort of dissension. But I feel like it's going to brew anyway. Yeah. With or without him, they'll just find someone else to take his place. Mm-hmm. So I agree. I think they just kind of sped up the process. But I don't think these people were ever going to live in perfect harmony without first having some bloodshed.
Yeah, and there's
a lot of prisoners. I didn't realize there was that many.
Yeah.
Once again, if Bellamy had been paying attention, when Raven tried to call, he would have called Raven, let her know that there's some mess going on, and they would have killed everybody in the pods. Except for... my favorite
cannibal
Vincent.
Security zombie Vincent. Yeah, security zombie Vincent.
You got a crush on a cannibal. How about that?
every woman likes a man that eats well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, good healthy eater.
He can protect you.
Between this and the library, this is such an R-rated episode today.
I just said he has a good appetite. That's true.
Well, John also, when all this, you know, stuff is happening, John decides to stay behind with Abby. Why? Do we know?
No one knows. I don't know.
Okay, because I was like, am I missing something super obvious?
Yeah, did they have a close relationship in former seasons? Because I don't remember them being all that close.
No.
I mean, nobody
liked... Derek Hogan says, do you guys remember how people hated Murphy in season one?
Yeah.
And now has one of the best characters of the show. Totally right, Derek. Yeah. I mean, the
arcs,
liked
the arcs are crazy here.
Yeah.
Never know. The arc, you may be a hero in one season, and next season you're like another enemy or a traitor or something. You just never know.
Clark's been my enemy for season one.
You were such a hater for Clark. Like, I don't hate her that much.
No, I'm so... I mean, come on. Me. It's all about Clark all the time.
I want to save my child, but screw the rest of you. Mm-hmm. I want to save everybody, but...
Okay, if you want to move to one crew, let's just move to one crew.
Let's get there.
I think it's time to move to one crew.
They're itching for it.
They're itching for Octavia. So Bellamy tells Clark that Octavia's sick because he stuffed Monty's algae in some cookie brownie.
I don't know what that was.
It looked like a protein bar.
Yeah.
like a fig noodle that went wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty gross looking. But, you know, whatever. It worked. It got the job done. It did what he wanted to do. And so now Indra is going to be the head of the army, and she's going to accept all these terms for peace, and it's going to be awesome. At least that's what they think right now. And Clark comforts Bellamy because he's all guilt-racked about, you know, poisoning his sister, which I get that. Yeah. I understand that.
Difficult choices.
Yeah, difficult choices. Mm-hmm. And so we have that little Clark and Bellamy moment, which is sweet. Like, they're regardless of what you think about them, I think that they are kind of like an iconic duo of this show because they've been, like, two of the most core people, two of the, like, the core relationships since, like, season one. So when they kind of, you know, they drift apart and get back together, and I think that their journey is really interesting. And they always are kind of there for each other, which is... It's cool because loyalties don't always last in this show, and so they're pretty loyal to each other.
Yeah, but now,
no.
It's broken.
Oh no,
it's love is gone.
Yeah,
that's true. I don't know if it can survive this.
So, like, Ringy90998 in the chat says, "I understand Clark wanting to protect Maddie, but it comes off as overprotective despite the circumstances. Like, Clark needs Maddie because she's her reason to live. That's why she doesn't want her to, I assume, probably die." Which is how I look at it. I feel that her connection with Maddie, I totally understand, but she's not looking at it in a dispassionate way to make sure that one crew humanity survives. She's strictly looking at it in a, how can I save my child?
Sure, but that's normal, I think, for a mother, like, because she's her surrogate mother figure. Like, I don't think that's unreasonable, really, because I understand. Yeah. Like, I think that people make crazy, crazy choices, you know, to protect their kid. Yes.
And for Clark, there was a last woman on earth type of situation. And then she met this lamb in the bush. It was this little girl that she can probably, you know, raise up. And she became her friend. She became her everything. You know what I mean? Because she was basically about to kill herself and just call it quits. And then, you know, she also made her life got better when she met Maddie.
Yeah, that's a good point.
She was living alone. She was, that was it for her. I think Maddie saved her life in the beginning.
Yeah, they were literally the only two people in the world for like 5 years.
Yeah.
So you've got to look at it that way, too.
You look at it that way.
I'll look at it that way. I'll grant you that. But still, it's just... I don't,
still anti-Clark, huh, guys?
I'm still anti-Clark.
And also everyone rushing to save Maddie. There's other kids, so what about the other children that you're all trying to protect? Just because it's Clark and that halo of Clark godness or whatever, it doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't make any sense for Bellamy to decide that. I think that they were mistaken to think that Maddie would have chosen peace. I truly think Maddie would have chosen
war
to fight one crew. She'd have been like, Octavia wants to fight one crew. I told him, Team Octavia, screw it, kill everybody. And for them to think that they would immediately just automatically follow Indra, she was not second in command. When they moved her out of the way, when they moved Octavia out of the way, that very perilous tower that she had, that she was a base of, moved it, and if
shattered,
it would have just fallen all down.
Well, the whole thing is like, it seems like a lot of the characters are just making assumptions about how things should happen, right? Yes. And what happens when you assume?
That's been happening since
season one, though. That's a theme of the show. It's everyone thinks they know best and are going to do whatever it takes to get there. Mm-hmm. And so when those ideologies clash, that's when you get what you get on this show. So I don't know. Like, I can see your points, but at the same time, I honestly think that Maddie would have gone for peace because she has the same love and care for Clark that Clark has for her. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like the first question she asks. Like, will you take this flame? It's like, well, what's going to happen to Clark? If it's going to save her, then
Clark is still very much her mentor.
She's
infatuated with Octavia, but Clark still has a lot of grip left on her.
But the thing about Clark's grip,
it's almost too firm. I mean, at some point, to me, it makes a little bit more sense that if everything is heading in this direction, why not prepare your child to be ready for this direction rather than trying to snatch him out and like, okay, we're just going to run away.
But I think
now she's going to be in more danger being on the run, isn't she?
Yes.
But I think she's going just to the valley. She sees peace in the valley, so she's going to take the kid, go to the valley, and leave Octavia completely alone. I think that's her. Or she can go back to the woods. They survived in the woods for years without either side of them. So she's going to go back to the woods.
But nobody else was outside, so it didn't matter if anyone else was around. Just same as I think when Maddie realizes that Bellamy, sort of with the help of Clark, tried to poison Octavia, I think that's going to make her look at not only Clark differently, but also Bellamy, who she thought was a good person from all the fairy tales that she grew up listening to.
Well, she's also just witnessed her mother kill one of her,
disciples.
One of her disciples right in front of
her.
For no reason whatsoever.
She's seen Clark kill, though.
Yeah, but this is different. This is different because Maddie talked that guy down off a cliff for a second.
And she did it so smoothly.
She was like, you believed in Lexa, now believe in me, right?
Because I am the true commander.
Right. She called him out. She called that dude out, and he got on his knees, for Christ's sake.
Mm-hmm. I think that Clark's overprotection, especially now that Maddie has this flame and is this leader, makes total sense, though, because you have to remember Lexa, and she was, shot by that stray bullet or whatever. Yeah. Like, there's so much danger that comes with being the commander, and Clark has seen that firsthand, and that's been one of the most, traumatic events in her life, and so it makes a ton of sense to me that being the commander is almost the scariest thing for her.
It's a huge target on your back.
Yeah.
Huge target.
But it makes sense of how Clark behaves, because when the new Sky Crew people came down, they were trying to figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. And immediately Clark was like, I'm going to shoot everybody. It's like, dude, are you not even look to see how many people are in there? It's not five people. It's like 100 people. You don't have enough bullets for that. She has a tendency, Clark has a tendency to think with a single-minded vision that totally ignores new stimuli, new ideas, what's going on. And then when she does something and makes a big, huge boo-hoo-hoo out of it, then it's like, oh, well, yeah, I shouldn't have done that.
She also expects everybody to just, like, fall in line and follow her lead as to what it is that Clark needs.
Yes.
Octavia's doing that exact thing right now, guys.
But Octavia's doing it for the people.
Don't be a hypocrite.
Octavia's doing it for her people, for her one crew.
Clark is doing it for Maddie.
You said you would protect Maddie. Maddie this, Maddie that.
Octavia's also doing it to save her own skin. Let's be real. Octavia's doing it for Octavia.
Octavia's one crew, one self.
Yeah. But one crew is everybody. That she's leading. Whatever issues you may have with Octavia and her decision, she has certain rules that everybody is supposed to follow, and no one's above the law.
So and who's the highest in control?
And she's the one that kept
the
peace.
But these are the same rules that she puts for herself.
Yeah, she's the one that kept the peace in that bunker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they're not in the bunker.
They lost 50% of people.
I think that this will actually
lead into...
They lost 50%
of people because of how much food they had.
Well, this will lead into, like, I think we got to get off this debate. We do not have much time.
One crew.
Tell us below the comments
Valley.
But that leads me into saying that the scene between Indra and Gaia I thought was super important and super interesting. Like I said, I always loved their relationship. But Indra said, real warriors hate war.
Yeah.
Which I thought was amazing. A pretty good quote, honestly. I think that Indra, seriously, she is so level-headed and rational, and I just want to put her in charge of everything.
Yeah.
But I looked at it as Gaia looking at her and once again saying, I didn't live up to your ideals, and you're putting someone else before me. Which is why she turned away.
I didn't take that.
I didn't get that. I didn't get that. Yeah. I mean, what I had gathered was, you know, as Gaia was growing up, that Indra wanted Gaia to be like this warrior like she was, right? Mm-hmm. But now I'm seeing, like, there's a change in their relationship because Indra is coming over to Gaia's side. I mean, with experience comes maturity, and that's what's happening to Indra. She's no longer like the savage grounder who's like ready to kill you because you looked at her sideways. You know,
I think for the first time they're coming together.
Yeah,
they're working together. They're on the same side finally. Mm. You know what I mean? Her going against Octavia is her going for Gaia, in my opinion.
I agree. I think that
she's going for Clark's suggestions. She's following Clark before she was following Octavia, before she was following the other commander.
Not necessarily Clark, but just the idea of peace.
Yeah, the idea of peace is what I think.
I don't think we should write Indra off as following anyone. I think that Indra literally has her own ideals, and she will tell you what she thinks is right, regardless of who's in charge.
Exactly. And a good leader needs to know that also, you know, taking other people's input.
Yeah.
Like, a dictatorship is not healthy. And peace is always better than war. I don't know on this show if they believe that, though. But peace is always better. More lives saved is better than more lives...
But Octavia didn't have a dictatorship. She had a circle of
advisors. This is a dictatorship. Yeah. It definitely
it's become one.
Yes, it has become one.
But she still has advisors.
She doesn't listen to them.
Sometimes when they have...
Well, a lot
she
of
never listened to one of her advisors.
No. If you come against
the
her,
suggestions of using the worm for germ warfare, she listened to that advice.
If it's for the worms chaos for germ and warfare, evil, then she listens to the advice.
That's what rocks her to bed at night.
Well, okay, let's talk about because Octavia wakes up.
Oh,
which
boy, does she wake
she
up.
She heals quickly. I feel like they're like, oh, she's probably going to die. And then she's all of a sudden like, what up? I'm up.
Like, okay, no staggering. Cool.
Yeah,
no
she's
yawning.
Fine. She's like a little tired.
Like
that's like how she wakes up from this disease, like how I wake up from a nap, honestly. Like, just a little groggy. Like, she's fine.
Yeah, hey, you guys okay? What I miss?
I need
you know?
A glass of water.
She woke up mad.
She wakes up mad. Indra starts attacking everyone in the room because she ain't letting out me neither. I was like, whoo.
That's when she killed Steve from accounting.
Steve from accounting, R.I.P. Yeah. R.I.P. Octavia calls her a traitor, a coward, says she's ashamed of her, and then Indra says that she's scared of her, and she blames herself for what she's become, Which, oh gosh, like, I don't know. Maybe you guys, like, your love for Octavia is my love for Indra, because I love her so much. I think that she's just so wise and has so much good input. So I really liked that scene as well, kind of those two. We've had that a little bit before of them butting heads, but I think this is just another super great example of that. Indra said she's not going to let her shoulder the burden alone anymore because during the dark year, she kind of stood by and let it all happen, which I still
again, what is that dark know. Year?
What happened in the dark year? I need to know. Year.
Was there a culling? Down. Maybe there was a culling.
Maybe. I don't know. I need to know.
I think that's what the...
That's what they used to do up on the ship.
Them fighting in the arena was.
Yeah, I think at some point it just was the most lives lost or something.
Right.
Because at some point the concept had to settle in their minds. They were all fresh from different, you know, different clans or whatever you want to call it. And all of a sudden they're trying to form into one crew. So that whatever it took to break them down to one crew, little minions, was intense.
Maybe it was Solient Green was the dark year.
Maybe it was
cannibalism?
What? Yes. Oh, yeah, you remember. We were around the same age. Right.
You said cannibalism?
Cannibal. Soylent Green?
Soylent Green is people. Old Charlton Heston movie.
Classic.
Oh, classic.
Oh, well. If you guys are into cannibalism,
yeah, that will be up. Cannibalism and Octavia Wars. So,
Maddie decides to take the flame. And that almost works for a second until Nyla comes in and Clark's like, oh, by the way, Bellamy poisoned Octavia, which, like, the worst person to tell. But I guess the best person to tell if you're looking to stop this ascension, like, ASAP, because Nyla is, you know, she loves her some Octavia. So they decide they're going to work together to stop it. And they say, listen, if Octavia's still alive and she has this flame, she will never be safe. Because not only will Octavia, you know, probably go after her, but Octavia's followers will go after her, which is, I think, is a very, very good point. So the flame knocks Maddie out, and Clark decides to go into Octavia's room with a gun. What'd you guys think of that?
That was.
I thought if you're going to go into somebody's room with a gun, you shoot them.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You don't have a conversation. You don't have a conversation about shooting them. You shoot them.
Yeah.
Not on television.
That was
obviously.
Not. That wasn't a good plan. That was not very good.
I think
plan.
This show is filled with people switching teams and making like, oh, I'm gonna be with you and partner with you for this next day or 2 hours just to. Unify on one goal.
Yeah.
But the fact that Octavia and Clark unite on anything is crazy to me.
Very fragile alliances.
Like, they're the top enemies. Fragile. They are, you know, against each other.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, obviously Octavia does not end up getting shot and can break free. Yeah. Maddie wakes up, thank God. I thought for a second she was going to die from the flame. Yeah.
Sometimes they did die from the flame. Mm-hmm. Not everybody survives the flame. There?
I don't know. I was like, maybe something weird went wrong. Like, maybe something's wrong with her blood or something. I don't know. But
then you would have seen Clark's
That's what I was thinking. I was like, maybe they're setting it up for her to just go absolutely
I'm
going to
kill some fools up in here.
Yeah. Clark has no following, so she's not too much of a threat.
Cares about her, yeah.
Yeah, she, all she has is Bellamy.
Yeah. Well,
kind of.
Not anymore. No more Bellamy.
Yeah, for a second. I don't know. We'll see how that pans out. Mm-hmm. So Clark and Maddie, you know, we talked about the van incident, and Clark's like, you know why I'm doing this, and, you know, pieces him out real fast. And so now Gaia, Indra, and Bellamy are at the mercy of Octavia, which is absolutely not where you want to be. And Octavia lies and is like, listen, Maddie didn't recite the lineage, so she's a traitor and she fled, which that's a pretty sinister lie to tell everyone. Not just, oh, she like accidentally died from the flame. It's like she left you guys. She sucks. Mm-hmm. So cool.
But that proves that Maddie was never safe. Because Octavia, the first chance she got with, you know, Maddie being the Nightblood, she was trying to get rid of her.
She knew she was a Nightblood.
I mean, for her taking the...
Once she took it, yeah. But that was because of Bellamy. So once again, Bellamy's stupidity has caused problems for everybody.
Bellamy is trying his best. Okay.
He's pretty. Yeah. You're pretty, Bellamy. Listen,
he's trying his best.
Yeah, well, his best isn't good enough.
Listen, he should have stayed in the
Your best isn't good enough, Bellamy.
Just stay in your lane, Bellamy.
I feel like I have to come to his defense.
Do better, Bellamy.
He should have just stayed in the room. You don't poison someone and just leave them. You know, he should have stayed there for when she wakes up. and then hash it out, because as soon as she wakes up, he knows that she knew his plan. You know what I mean? He should have stayed there as a little bit of a damage control.
Yeah.
Him leaving.
But then she would have, like, immediately tried to choke him.
Right. Yeah. It was probably dangerous.
Tied down.
He was too busy, you know, trying to put the flame in
that didn't sound right. That doesn't sound right. She's
believe
a minor,
not,
buddy.
We that's yeah.
Literally. A minor.
So
this is a kid show. No, not really.
I regretted saying it as I was saying it.
The words coming out of your mouth.
Yeah.
So at the end of this episode,
she's like, move on.
At the end of this episode, so Octavia says that Maddie will be dealt with. Mm-hmm. But first, they got a war to win, and she sits on her throne. And even though I'm not really pro Octavia, when she sits on that throne, I'm like, queen, like, yes, whatever. And then she sheds a single tear.
Mm-hmm. The betrayal. So, she was betrayed from the right, from the left. Someone stabbed her in the back.
You think it's because of betrayal?
Yes, she's
no,
upset.
No, I thought it's
she
guilt.
She has no one. She has no
she's
one.
Indeed.
I think it's
nobody.
All of it. Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Yeah.
You know?
I think she sees that she's about to kill her brother. And it is sitting in.
Yes.
She's not going to kill her brother. She's going
to
put
family.
Them in the
exactly.
She
has to make a she
either
has to put
Indra or Bellamy or both of them are going to die.
Yeah, they both have
because of choices that they made.
And Gaia. Yeah, choices and Gaia. Which, like, I mean, she's not like that type of Gaia.
I don't think
Gaia is
going to be a very good fighter. I don't think so.
Gaia? No. Gaia is going to, I mean... Oh,
you know, I have to say, I don't think Gaia should be punished because she was following the rules. Octavia was incapacitated.
True. That's mm-hmm. a good point.
True.
So I almost think that once Octavia calms down, she'll be like, oh, well, I realize
no.
It wasn't you.
No. I don't see that happening.
They need her for the religious thing, though.
Yeah, but she probably saw Gaia as a, you know, as a person that went against her because she... gave her a position to actually take her over. Like, she wanted to be complete power, right? Instead mm-hmm. of just watch her and make sure she gets back together, she gave basically the power to someone else. Like, true power to someone else.
And also, I think...
But
they were telling her she was that she was dying. Everyone thought she was going to die. That she was in a coma and she was never going to wake up. Because of Bellamy's choices.
Yeah, but there are no lawyers in this world. So there's nobody's going to advocate for Gaia.
We have one engineer. We have one doctor. We have no lawyers.
No lawyers.
Awesome. So that is pretty much the summary. So let's move into our special segment, Boss Move of the Week.
Like a boss.
Thank you. Cherry, why don't you go first?
Oh, there's so many boss moves. I think mine was when Vincent looks at Abby and he's like, no, shut up, girl.
Okay.
Just watch them die. Don't say nothing. And I was like, yeah, Vincent. Yeah. Mm. She needs to shut her mouth up.
All right. Good one.
I'm going to go with Miller. Saying, girl, you're not in charge of the 1st Battalion anymore.
That was a pretty, we didn't really get too in depth with that.
I gotta give Miller props for that one. He was
Miller.
Like, three snaps in a Z formation on that one.
Really
like, you need to step back, girl. you are not in charge. That was a boss move there.
That's pretty boss.
Hands down, when Maddie just starts quoting, for me, it felt like she was quoting from the Bible.
Yeah.
It was like the scriptures of knowledge that was implanted into her brain. She's like, Lexa was your Lita before, and here I am now. And he just bows down. Real power don't have to yell. Real power don't have to scream. Real power just speaks, and it happens. And right then, I was like, she's got the juice, man.
Yeah.
She's got the juice.
I liked that one. That was like my runner-up that I wrote down. So I have to state the obvious one, which was the entire Civil War, I think was a pretty boss move. But specifically, I loved it when Diaz was like, if you kill me, you kill your unborn child. And Crew was like, oh, snap. I love that. Yeah, I like
and
that.
And by the way, it's a girl.
Yes!
I love that she said it was a girl. I love that she said it's a girl.
Yeah, I liked that a lot.
Like, if
too.
It was a boy, he probably would have still stabbed her. But it's like, and it's a daughter.
It's a girl. Awesome. So, guys, make sure that you share your boss moves with us. It's like some of my favorite comments to read because there's so many. Like, this episode especially was crazy. So, last week we had a lot of great comments. I want to shout out Leisha Darling and Pamela Sledge. Thanks for sharing your thoughts. And so, if you guys want to be shouted out, leave us a comment, preferably good a nice comments. One. Yeah, because those make me happier to read than, you know, the not nice ones. So yeah. We also have some news for you, some very exciting news.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So if any of you guys are going to San Diego Comic-Con, which is like the hugest event ever. Oh, Cherry's going. Very cool. Yeah.
Represent AfterBuzz.
Go, girl.
So
go,
the 100 will be screening an episode early at San Diego Comic-Con, so you can watch it before it actually airs, which is cool. I went to a Riverdale panel, and they showed like the musical episode before, and it's so cool to know before everyone else knows. It's very cool. Also, Isaiah Washington, R.I.P. Jaha, will be on a panel as well, talking about the 100 and Grey's Anatomy and all of his acting stuff. So go say hey to him and listen to him speak, because, you know, poor Jaha. We miss him. Sort of.
Sort
no,
of, yeah.
He had to go. He had to go.
Jaha.
But still, we miss Jaha. Isaiah. Yeah, we miss the actor.
Miss the actor, not so much the character.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So let's move on to predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Like, the music is kind of spooky. Yeah.
All right, Cherry. Let's
Me?
Go. Yeah. I always make you go first.
I think that Bellamy thinks he might win the pit, but I don't think he will. He's not. He hasn't been fighting, so he's not going to. All right.
No. Who do you think will win? You think Endro will win?
Yes.
His so you think Bellamy's going to die?
No.
There's no way they're killing him off.
There's going to be some type of interference. Yeah. Like, stop.
Yeah.
I think that the the Sky Crew is going to come bring the fight to them as opposed to them fighting in the valley, which does not make any sense. Don't fight in the valley. I think they're going to take it to where they are and, fight's going to start.
All right.
It's almost a season finale.
Yeah.
I think now that Maddie has the wisdom of the commanders, she's going to want to go back and take care of her people.
Yeah.
I think she's going to, by any means necessary, not like she's either going to run away from Clark or she's going to convince Clark to turn that Jeep around in metaphorically speaking. I think, because it's her duty. Right? Mm-hmm. I said duty. Sorry.
We went from an R-rated movie to G rated right? humor.
Hilarious.
Sorry.
Incredible. I said duty. He maybe had a brain fart.
Maybe.
I'm going to piggyback off of yours a little bit. Mm-hmm. I hate to say this, but I feel as though Maddie and Clark are going to somehow break friendship. Like, they're going to separate. And that really makes me sad. I think it's going to be a conflict between mother and daughter.
All right.
Yeah.
Mine's super vague, but I think that we're going to have either, like, a major character death or, like, secondary or a new character death. Like, I think that Dioza or McCreary might be going either in the season finale or a little before the season finale. Because we had Jaha die, but we haven't had, like, a major one for a couple episodes.
I like, what'd you call him?
Oh, Benedict Cain?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not Benedict Cain. The guy who got the knife straight in the...
Steve from McCann.
Yeah. I mean, it was major to me.
We do miss him dearly. Yeah. A major loss.
How dare you?
R.I.P. Steve.
R.I.P. Steve fans, speak up, okay?
Derek Hogan in the chat says, I bet when Ender and Bellamy fight, he won't make the kill and goads Octavia into fighting him instead.
Oh, that's a good theory. Yeah, I think that maybe Octavia will die.
Don't you dare!
I can kind of see it. I can kind of see it.
Yeah. No, I don't see it happening.
She needs to. Really? She needs to go.
No, I
love Octavia.
As far as other seasons, she either needs to bow a knee and have a new epiphany of how to be a better person.
That's the thing, though. Like she won't. To, so I the
tear.
Where does she
the
go?
Tears show her humanity.
Yeah, I guess that's true. That's
she may just throw it down and say, "I'm done." I wouldn't be surprised if she says, "I'm done."
She's had to make decisions, and she took it all on as opposed to making other people do it. And I think it really has broken her, and it'll take a while for her to get back to normal. But she'll never be that little girl from under the floorboard. No. But she won't be Blood Reyna either. Yeah. I think she'll be like a happy medium. But you can't have a peacekeeper with the crazy criminals from space. They don't want to be your friend.
No. There's two. We're talking about murderers.
Yeah.
Not even regular murderers.
She may like fake her death and leave or something. I can see her getting to the point where she's about to kill her brother and she just can't do it. She drops the knife and is like, "What am I doing?" And she leaves, or
that's like the one person she can't.
That's the only way I can see her making it to the next season.
But he tried to kill her.
I could see Octavia going into exile before dying. Yeah.
For her brother and Indra, or I don't know if she loves who she loves more. I would say she loves her brother more than Indra.
Bellamy. Yeah.
Because that tear, I think, was definitely for Bellamy.
I do too. We'll have to see. I'm excited. We have, what, 3 episodes left?
Four episodes left.
Oof.
And we're going to an earlier time, aren't we?
We are going to an earlier time, yes. But we will be, our show will be still at the same time. Yes. So, guys, thanks so much for joining us. Where can everyone find you guys on the social medias?
You can find me at Cherry_LA on Twitter and Instagram.
You can find me at The El Jorge on all social media.
Yeah. Funny Sarai, FunnySarie on Instagram and Twitter. And then I had the little British accent on that one. And then on Facebook, it's going to be Sarai Comedian. Also, Tuesday, what day is this? I always forget.
Today is Tuesday.
So Thursdays, Luke Cage, 3 p.m.
Awesome. And you guys can find me on Twitter at @Alphabet_ and on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_. I also host a bunch of after shows, Colton Extreme Belief, every Tuesday at 8. Younger, Wednesdays at 9, and Law & Order SVU, Thursdays at 8 o'clock. And we will see you guys next time. Make sure to keep it 100.
Love ya. Kisses.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.